Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Okay, so we've all been there, right? You know that neighbor, the one that seems to think walls are just a suggestion?
Oh, yeah.
But today we're going deep. We're diving into a neighborly feud that is truly epic.
All right.
This is a story told by Amanda in a letter she sent to the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Okay.
Get ready for some serious what would you do moments.
Yeah.
Because this one's got it all. Escalating tranks, psychological warfare, and even a twist ending you won't see coming.
Wow. So what makes Amanda's story so interesting?
Well, for me, I think it's how she highlights these like psychological dynamics of conflict.
Uh-huh.
It's really fascinating to see how something as simple as a noise complaint can turn into a full-blown war. Like a war of attrition.
Yeah, it's wild how these things escalate.
Totally. And it all starts innocently enough.
Yeah.
You know? Like Amanda describes late night furniture rearranging, the dreaded 6:01 a.m. vacuuming.
Oh, I know that one.
The worst. But see, she tries to be reasonable at first. Like she leaves polite notes, emails the landlord.
Right, right.
These early attempts are key.
Yeah.
It shows she wants to resolve this amicably.
Yeah, it's like she's following the social script, right, you know, for neighborly disputes. Appealing to reason and courtesy and all that.
Totally. She's doing everything by the book. And her partner, Todd, even tries to downplay it. You know, he's like, it's probably just kids.
Mm.
But then Amanda says this. They sound like wildebeests.
Whoa. Okay, that's a little vivid.
Right. It's not just annoying. It's like viscerally disturbing.
Uh-huh.
She's using this animalistic imagery.
Right.
You know, like she feels invaded.
I see, like a primal territorial thing.
Exactly. And it doesn't take long for things to, well, escalate.
Oh, I bet.
The stomping gets louder. Then you have dragging sounds joining the symphony of chaos. And then laughter.
Laughter. Oh, that changes things.
Right. Like, it's not just inconsiderate anymore. It feels deliberate.
Like they're enjoying it.
Yeah. Maybe even, you know, enjoying her distress.
Wow.
So Amanda decides to fight back.
Okay.
And her weapon of choice, opera music.
Interesting tech.
Right. It's bold. Choosing culture over confrontation.
Very refined.
But the neighbors, they don't back down. The noise actually intensifies.
Ah, the classic reciprocity principle in action.
Right. Someone harms us, even unintentionally, and we just have to reciprocate.
Yeah, like they see the opera as an attack and they ramp things up in return.
Exactly. And then greasy-haired neighbor enters the picture.
Greasy-haired?
Yeah, Amanda's description, not mine. Anyway, he says to her, all casual, like, oh, you're the one who doesn't like to party.
Ooh, that's a little chilling.
Chilling is right. It's like they're relishing this.
Yeah, I see what you mean about the power dynamic. They're trying to frame her as the uptight one, the outlier. Like, their fun is more important than her peace.
100%. It's totally dismissing her very valid complaints. So what does Amanda do? She retaliates.
How so?
The classic broomstick on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah, the old standby.
But instead of quieting down, they start jumping like they're mocking her, turning it into some sick game.
Oof, that's a classic negative feedback loop. Every action meets a stronger reaction, and it just fuels the whole thing.
And no one is getting any sleep.
No, probably not.
So it's like we're watching this tennis match of bad behavior. Each side just keeps volleying back even more aggressive moves.
Yeah.
But then things take a turn. It gets dark.
Yeah.
Like we're moving beyond noise and into something way more unsettling.
Right. It shifts from annoyance to harassment. Straight up, like Amanda starts finding trash at her door.
Ugh.
It culminates with a half-eaten bucket of fried chicken.
Ah.
This is way beyond noise now.
That's so gross. It's like they're saying, we don't respect you, you know?
Absolutely. It's about intimidation. It's meant to be disrespectful.
So Amanda leaves a note. She's like, this needs to stop.
Yeah.
But their response is a chilling, nice try, maybe next time. And Todd, you know, the voice of reason, he's like, don't stoop to their level.
Mm.
But how do you stay calm in a situation like that?
That's the thing. You have to recognize the psychological impact of this kind of behavior.
Yeah.
Amanda is experiencing a violation of her space. And she feels powerless. It's totally natural to feel angry, to want to get back at them.
Right.
But like we see here, that just makes things worse.
And then comes the mystery leak. Turns out it's a kiddie pool.
Okay.
But not filled with water.
Beer.
Beer.
Seriously.
Seriously. I mean, you almost have to admire their creativity, right?
Right.
But it's also incredibly disturbing.
It really makes you wonder, are they just oblivious or are they malicious?
Right.
I mean, their response to Amanda is so dismissive. It's like, chill out, we're just vibing.
It's like they're gaslighting her, making her question her own sanity.
Yeah, there's a real lack of empathy there.
So driven to her limit, Amanda threatens to file a noise complaint.
Uh-oh.
And that's when things go from bad to unbelievable. They file a complaint against her.
Against her?
Yeah. They accuse her of excessive noise, of shouting, training her dog to bark excessively. I mean, talk about a power move.
It's totally manipulative. They're trying to discredit Amanda and make themselves the victims.
Classic Darvo, right? Deny, attack, and reverse victim and offender.
Exactly. And it works so often.
It's so frustrating.
You know, this is where documentation is key. If Amanda had kept a detailed log of the noise with dates and times, she'd be in a much better position.
It's a good reminder for anyone dealing with a difficult neighbor. Keep records.
For sure.
But Amanda, feeling totally betrayed and ignored, decides if she's going to be labeled the problem. She might as well embrace it.
Okay, interesting.
So buckle up, because Amanda's about to unleash a level of petty retaliation that would make anyone cackle with delight.
That's I gotta hear.
All right, so we left off with Amanda ready to, like, fully embrace her new role as the problem tenant.
Right, right.
But her revenge is less about, like, hurting them and more about taking back control, you know, in this crazy situation.
I can see that.
And what's interesting is that even though it's petty, it's also strategic.
Oh, how so?
Well, she picks these annoyances that are, like, impossible to prove.
Ah.
Like playing baby crying sounds at 3 a.m, constantly cooking fish, even whispering insults through the vents.
Wow, she's going all out.
Right. And you can't help but feel a little satisfied when she describes their reactions, the confusion, the frustration.
I bet.
But is this really the best way to handle this, you know?
That's the question, isn't it? I mean, revenge can feel good in the moment, but it rarely solves the problem long term.
Totally. Plus, it's got to be exhausting to live with that anger.
Exactly. It takes a toll.
So Amanda's story is a good reminder. Sometimes the best way to win is to just let go. Protect your own peace.
Couldn't agree more.
But Amanda has one final act of revenge. A box filled with plastic cockroaches delivered right to their door.
Oh, classic.
Classic. But in this context, it's almost like a symbol of defiance, you know?
Yeah, I get it.
And it's the final straw, it seems, because the tension just explodes when the neighbors decide to, get this, deep fry a turkey in their living room.
Wait, what? In their living room?
Living room.
That's bold.
Bold and incredibly stupid.
Mm.
So, of course, chaos ensues. Smoke, the fire alarm goes off, the whole building has to evacuate.
It's like a sitcom, but with higher stakes.
Seriously. And amidst all the chaos, Amanda bumps into Greasy Hair.
Of course she does.
And she just asks him, "You happy now?"
Mm.
His response, ecstatic.
Oh, I bet. Dripping with sarcasm.
Right. They're so deep in this conflict that they can't even see straight anymore.
It's like they've lost the ability to communicate, to empathize.
Totally. But then comes the resolution we've all been waiting for.
What happened?
The upstairs neighbors, they get evicted.
Evicted? Wow.
Yeah. The lease violations, the whole turkey fryer fiasco, and probably Amanda's documented complaints. It's all just too much.
It's like poetic justice, almost.
It really is. But it's also a reminder that these situations, they have consequences.
For sure. Amanda might feel like she won, but it's been a rough ride for everyone.
Absolutely. And even with the eviction, there's this, like, lingering unease. Well, as the neighbors are leaving, they say, "You win this time, but we'll be back."
Ooh, ominous.
Right. It makes you wonder, is this really over? Or is it just the beginning of something else?
Yeah, it's like, even when you win, the scars of conflict can stick around.
Amanda's story is definitely wild. Pranks, psychological warfare.
Yeah.
But it also makes you think, you know, about conflict, about the importance of documentation, and about how these situations can really affect you.
True. I think the big takeaway here is to choose your battles. And remember, sometimes the best revenge is just peace of mind.
So well said. And to our listeners, if you're dealing with something similar, remember to talk it out, document everything, and don't be afraid to ask for help if you need it.
Absolutely. A little prevention can go a long way.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another fascinating look into the complexities of human behavior.
See you then.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.